Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to the long-awaited episode 175 of The New World Next Week. Everything you need is at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, our previous episode was sort of a Thanksgiving and food-related episode. This one's going to be even more up my alley with a sort of media and memes-related episode. And we will begin with RawStory.com, noting that reality star Tila Tequila converts to Nazism, calls herself Hetila in her new anti-Semitic pop hit. Reality television star Tila Tequila emerged from a year of relative obscurity by apparently celebrating a former associate's death and expressing sympathy for Nazi leader Adolf Hitler, both online and in a new song. Tablet magazine reported this past Monday that Tequila, who came into national at least prominence through the dating show A Shot at Love in 2007 and 2008, posted a photo illustration of herself on Facebook bearing an armband adorned with a swastika and an SS hat while standing in front of the entrance to the Auschwitz prison camp. The story is ugly, but we'll cut to the chase. In another post, as she's willingly, excitedly posting all of these things, also this past Monday, Tequila, born Tila Nguyen in Singapore in 1980, wrote, quote, "I am she, the queen who hath come to save you from this dark world filled with NWO parasite invaders," an apparent reference to the New World Order, a popular boogeyman figure among conspiracy theorists. She also responded to criticism of the image by linking to a December 7th blog post in which she defends Hitler, saying his history was written after the defeat of the Axis in World War II. James, this is quite a bizarre story, and I think this lines up quite well with our recent previous episode about the Russell Brand wagon and these celebrities that seem to, as you and I were talking before we started to roll tape, yeah, I remember Tila Tequila kind of coming out and her being heralded in the alternative media as yet another celebrity to come out against the New World Order. But as we always see it, it's usually a long walk off a short pier, James.
And look at how outlets like RawStory.com are positively wetting themselves to cover this, because it's another example of one of those crazy people who believe in crazy things like 9/11 truth and all of this other stuff, which all gets lumped in together because of the train wreck that's happening right now with Tila Tequila, who, by the way, in the past has touted such things as the fact that she is a superhuman and that superhumans are fed off of by the Illuminati, who are alien hybrids who live inside the Hollow Earth. And she has personally died 7 times, and on the 7th time, she was dead for 3 days, and she met some sort of man who told her something important, or something like that. People can read her absolutely insane screeds on her blog, if they're so inclined, let's just contrast this to actually just the beginning of last year, when she claimed she was converting to Judaism, and saying that it was really honest, heartfelt. It wasn't about publicity seeking. So converting to Judaism, converting to Nazism, whatever she's converting to next week, I'm sure will also make interesting tabloid fodder. And of course, fodder, as we say, for denigrating anyone who questions the system as a whole, because it is a big tar and feather that they use to brush over everyone. And it's interesting to me, I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head here, but it seems to me there are really two types of celebrities who question the powers that shouldn't be. There's the train wreck tabloid variety. I mean, Charlie Sheen, Tila Tequila, that type of train wreck that people love to gawk at and make fun of and become instant punchlines in and of themselves. And then they're the other kind. I mean, you look at someone like Tupac, who was literally talking about kill Illuminati. Illuminati ends up getting gunned down. You have Michael Jackson. A lot of people have said, and there's some clips out there of him talking about the people who own the music industry, and he's not going to let them win, and blah, blah, blah. And he ends up getting drugged by his handler and everything to death. You have, interestingly enough, Brittany Murphy. Julia Davis, the whistleblower, was on my program a couple of years ago to talk about her experience with DHS. And she mentioned Brittany Murphy was murdered by the powers that shouldn't be. And lo and behold, just a couple weeks ago, there was this, it was main headline news, ABC News, everywhere else. Was Brittany Murphy poisoned? So now that's finally coming out. So I don't know. It seems to me that there's the star whackers who take care of the stars who go a little too far off the plantation in a way that's not a walking train wreck.
I'm glad you mentioned star whackers, because I even forgot about that sort of name and title we've been able to kind of give these things. You know, James, actually what I thought you were going to say, the other type of person, in my belief, the other type of person in a way is someone that, like Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedy said years ago, his heroes were people who monkey wrenched the New World Order, and they're not huge celebrities and they're not big rock stars. They're people who live their lives not taking part of this New World Order system, and they don't have to be big celebrities and make a bunch of money off of it. You walk your talk, just as again, in the sort of indie music scene, the famous book about Nirvana's, you know, and all the sort of alternative bands, you know, from now 20 years ago, you know, this band could be your life. In my view, it's sort of like you either are it because you live it, or you're just another yapping face on the screen. James, I think it's interesting to note, Raw Story, I think, used to actually be a decent outlet. And I used to source from them all the time back during, oh, this is the answer, the Bush administration during Media Monarchy episodes. And ever since the last few years, they are nothing but partisan, pretty much straight down the line. So that's probably a whole other episode looking into the backstory of what happened to Raw Story in around 2008. One of the commenters, though, on the story about Tila Tequila notes that that she's lesbian and Asian, and those aren't probably two of Hitler's favorites, so she maybe didn't think this thing all the way through, her latest, you know, phone.
I never thought of that, but yeah.
National Post has an interesting story, and this will throw in another element, James. MySpace star turned conspiracy theorist Tila Tequila says Paul Walker was killed in a ritualistic murder, and we will probably, fortunately, James, leave that where it lies. But again, like everything we mentioned on the show, we will provide the links and the sources for you to go read these stories for yourself. So, James, unless you have anything more to say about the Tila train wreck, we will move on to our second media-related story.
I just want to say that in any fair and just universe, no one on the planet would care what Tila Tequila thinks about anything, and people like, I don't know, Norman Dodd or something like that would be a household name, but this is not a fair and just universe, unfortunately.
Or when Matt Damon speaks out, everybody goes crazy. That's another one we could have mentioned as well. But James, our second story is a really interesting one from the Los Angeles Times, and I'm going to have to truncate a bit of it, but they asked the question, can you get PTSD from watching media coverage of an event? Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, again, the euphemistic language, has been on psychiatry's books for just 23 years, and before 9/11, no one entertained the possibility that watching disturbing images of trauma on TV could give rise to the disorder. This notion remains controversial, but new research suggests that PTSD might indeed be transmitted over the airwaves. The study finds that those who spent more than 6 hours a day watching media coverage of the April 15th, 2013 Boston Marathon bombing and its aftermath suffered more powerful stress reactions than did people who were directly involved but watched less news coverage of the events. The study was published this past Monday in the journal PNAS, that's Proceedings of the National Academy of Scientists. And they go into who they talk to, and they actually talk to a lot of people in the Boston and New York metro area, as well as the rest of the United States. They kind of talk about their internet access and stress reactions and things. And again, you can read all of that yourself. But the single factor that was most strongly predicted high stress reactions was having watched 6 hours or more a day of media coverage of the bombings and their aftermath. The authors of the study, all from University of California, Irvine, suggested that 24/7 media coverage of traumatic events may exacerbate stress reactions among those who are already vulnerable to PTSD by virtue of a past history of mental illness or past experience of traumas. The authors acknowledge their findings do not demonstrate a cause and effect relationship between intensive consumption of media of a trauma and PTSD, but they pointed to the findings of PTSD after 9/11, that 3 years after the terrorist attacks, those who reported watching the most 9/11 coverage had the heaviest load of PTSD symptoms, such as intrusive thoughts, nightmares, anxiety triggered by cues associated with the incident, and physical symptoms including sleep troubles and headaches. The most plausible interpretation of the study's findings, in closing, James, say the authors, is that media coverage can be an unhelpful factor for those predisposed to PTSD in the first place. And there's also a Newsy.com video. Can watching media coverage of a traumatic event be more stressful than actually being there? James.
Well, my first comment is anyone who's subjecting themselves to 6 hours of media coverage or more per day of any event is probably doing something wrong and probably going to get a little bit messed up because of that. But secondly, I would say that if the old adage that you are what you eat is true in the physical sense, then certainly in the mental sense, you are what you watch, you are what you listen to, you are the media that you consume on a mental level. And I think that listeners of the alternative media and the Corbett Report should probably know that by now, because obviously we are greatly affected by the types of things we're listening to and consuming on a daily basis. And so I would say that that's one of the reasons why we, and I think healthy alternative media, does try to concentrate less on the fear porn and more on things that we can actually do about it, things we can take into control. That's why I have the solutions series of my podcast. Just type the word solutions into the search bar of corporatereport.com. You'll find dozens and dozens and dozens of reports that I've done. In fact, I'm doing a podcast episode that'll be out on Friday, tomorrow, that will be specifically about another solution for people to combat the government tyranny. So I think we have to concentrate on positive things and things that people can do. And secondly, I would say, you know, sometimes you just got to turn it off. I mean, really, we have to keep this in perspective. And if you're living in wherever, Wisconsin or Winnipeg or Japan, and you're listening to 6 hours of media coverage about the Boston Marathon bombing, what are you doing to yourself? I mean, we have to keep these events in perspective when they happen. And honestly, I mean, 100 years ago, people wouldn't have been listening, you know, to hours and hours and hours of people talking about something that happened, you know, thousands of miles away. Why are we so concentrated on it in this day and age? Sometimes you just got to unplug and go out into nature and just sit there and watch a babbling brook streaming by and contemplate the nature of the universe, less so than the latest of whatever phony terror attack they're trying to stuff down our gullets.
James, I think in a way you're kind of hitting on what Neil Postman talked about in Amusing Ourselves to Death, of what has become the sort of news of the day. Because the sad truth is, the 12 and a half minutes that you and I have been talking, far more traumatic things have happened to so many more families and folks out there than some big media event. And, you know, I honestly, James, over the last year, I have found it almost easier, even though now I swim in the news of the day, I found it easier in a way to, I don't want to say that I shut down, that it doesn't affect me and, oh, I'm callous and I don't care about all sorts of things. But there's just a lot of talk about, you know, discernment and things, and I just don't exactly see it happening. So again, you and I talked before we started to roll tape, I pretty much just went to concerts all weekend. That to me is a positive, fun, loving thing that I never regret and I never feel bad about doing. James, on that sidebar note, we'll quickly jump to our third and final story on this media meme episode of The New World next week. If a story is viral, truth might be taking a beating. And this comes from The New York Times. As they note, truth has never been an essential ingredient of viral content on the internet, but in the stepped-up competition for readers, digital news sites are increasingly blurring the line. James, here's another sidebar. If there's been any phrase that pays this year, it's blurred lines. I've seen that all over the place. That's another episode. But digital news sites are increasingly blurring the line between fact and fiction and saying that it's all a part of doing business in the rough-and-tumble world of online journalism. This story starts to go into lots of things that started on Twitter as art project, screenplay, performance art, all got picked up by the gaping maw of the 24/7, 365 babble of the internet media. So a child's letter to Santa that detailed an Amazon.com Lincoln crayon was written by a comedian. There was a Thanksgiving feud on a plane, all these sort of fake things that turned into real stories. You can also even look into all the fake viral videos that folks like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon make as part of their late night talk shows. The article is really fascinating, James, because it gets into talking to some of the folks from some of the news organizations. And I'll just quickly note, when the tales turn out to be phony, the modest hand-wringing that ensues is accompanied by an admission that viral trumps verified, and that little will be done about it as long as the clicks keep coming. You're seeing news organizations say, if it's happening on the internet, that's our beat, said Joshua Benton, director of the Nieman Journalism Lab at Harvard, saying the next step of figuring out whether it happened in real life is up to someone else. And maybe, James, that's actually more telling than I think he means it to be. We have to sort of use much more discernment.
That's the word of the day. That's the key word in all of this. And I've talked about it before on my radio show and on my podcast, the way that these stories that have a modicum of truth or sometimes no truth at all will go ultra mega viral almost instantly. And of course, we see this in the alt media as well about important news events that sometimes are just completely made up. And I've talked, for example, I remember doing a radio show in which there was a day that a story got posted to one of the alt media sites that was talking about, I think it was an Israeli strike on Iran or something along those lines, you know, World War III is starting kind of thing, went super mega viral, got posted everywhere around the alt media on the web. And it turned out it sourced to a story from the Telegraph that was like 7 years old or something. So again, unfortunately, I've seen this happen time and time again in the alt media as well. And people, again, just have to use discernment and always look into the source of what you're hearing and where it's coming from, when it's coming from. Can you verify it in other ways? And that's a lot of work, and people don't like to do work. When they see a hot viral story, they just want to take it and run with it. And it's something that I often reflect on. I mean, my most viral video, the 9/11 conspiracy theory video, is I'm glad that that became viral. I had absolutely no idea that that would become viral. And it's good because it got a lot of people interested in some of the different aspects of 9/11 truth, but you know, compared to the in-depth work that I've done in the past, and you know, hour-long episodes of the podcast exploring different aspects of it, it's just a little 5-minute kind of comedic video almost that gets the most attention, which is kind of sad, but hey, it's human nature, and what are you going to do about it? So I don't think that there's a way to use the virality to spread the truth. I think that's a game you can get burned at. I think people out there who are putting this message out, just put the message out, and if it goes viral, great. And if not, you know, that shouldn't be the focus.
Absolutely. James, I'll include in the show notes, I won't go into them now since we're already running a little bit long, in our media meme episode, there are interesting, I think really fascinating stories concerning the Beastie Boys and copyright infringement. More updates on Zero Dark 30, and even the rock band Toto does not approve of their song Africa being used in the Mandela Memorial. Also, we'll include some hashtag New World Next Week tweets from our man G.J. Salisbury getting into Bitcoin and Syria and so very much more. If you want to submit a story, hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter. I'm there at Media Monarchy. He's there at Corbett Report. James, I appreciate it so much, dude.
So do I, and we'll be back next week. And before then, on next Wednesday night, I'm going to be on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, produced by James M. Bilotto, so people can tune into that. Is that groundzero.com? No.
groundzeromedia.org.
That's it. All right, and we'll put the link in there as well, so people can tune in next Wednesday night. So thanks again, James.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.